Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for this opportunity of the next few minutes that we have to think about how it is that we are to try and live faithfully in a world where things change so quickly sometimes, God. We thank you for your steadfast word and the promise that you would send your spirit to walk with us and guide us. We give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Has this ever happened to you? You're going about your business, doing a task around your house, and you forget something that you know it, and you think about it, and you sort of do your think thing, and then all of a sudden you have your aha moment. It comes to you. What you've been trying to remember, you've somehow pulled it deep out of the recesses of your brain. It's a pretty satisfying feeling when it happens, right? Now, in the interest of self-disclosure, how it happens for me more often these days is that I'm going about my business, maybe I'm making dinner for the family, and I forget something that I should know by now, and I'm thinking, like, what temperature am I supposed to cook chicken to? And so I think about it for maybe 2 seconds, and then I pull this thing out, type it into Google, and then my question is answered. And then I know that, if you're curious, it's 165 degrees, by the way. I looked it up when I was writing the sermon. Now, what would have happened 15 years ago if I didn't have this amazing tool that's kind of collected all of humanity's recorded knowledge and a little device that you can access anytime that you want? A couple of things might have happened. One, I might have given my family food poisoning, which wouldn't be a good thing. Or two, I might have just, at this point, memorized what temperature I'm supposed to cook chicken to and, you know, had saved that important information into the brain that God gave me to remember things. And that's how fast things have changed over the last 15 years. 15 years ago, I had telephone numbers memorized. Do you still have telephone numbers memorized? I know three. My number, my wife's number, and my aunt that I don't really call that much. But I do see her. Technology causes changes. It's inevitable. Pastor Adam Thomas, who we've referenced before in the sermon series, and he influenced a lot of the ideas that are going into this sermon as well, he likened the change of technology to the process of evolution. See, as the process of adaptation happens, a species changes. And while that's most often a positive thing, as species adapt and evolve, some things are lost along the way. It could be vestigial tails, walking on all fours, things like that. But the process happens. But the process of adaptation happens over a very long period of time. God has designed it to be a slow process, so species have a chance to adapt to the changes that are happening in them. But technology, that's a different animal. In the last couple of decades, things have changed at such a pace that it can be difficult to just remove ourselves from it, take a couple steps back, and think about the ways that technology has changed us and changed our lives. And also the question of whether something important is being lost along the way. As we offload more of our mental processes to our devices, we do gain some things. We gain a high level of convenience. It's nice. It's comforting to know that if you forget something, you can pull out your phone and suddenly remember it. But it's also important to pause and consider what we might be losing and how we can enjoy the changes that our rapidly changing technology brings us, but doing it in a healthy and God-honoring way as well. Which brings us to our passage this morning, which, if you forget what the passage is, you can Google it later by typing in something about, bodies as sacrifice, living sacrifices. It'll come up quickly. We're reading from Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Christians, we've been called to set apart all of ourselves to God. And that doesn't mean that we're setting apart parts of ourself to just not use them anymore and say, well, God, you've got them. You can use them if you want to. No, God is calling us to set apart ourselves to use what he's given us to bring glory to him. Paul calls this a form of worship, being able to worship God by using the tools that he's given us. And one of those tools that he's given us is our brain. It's the ability to think. And just like a muscle grows weak from lack of use, maybe the brain can grow weak from lack of use as well. And in general, we may be working our brains a lot less as we offload our mental tasks to our devices and become more reliant on them to house our memories. This plays out in a lot of minor ways, like I referenced before, not remembering telephone numbers, maybe not being able to calculate a tip off the top of your head when you get your bill at a restaurant. So you pull out your phone and you calculate it, and that's nice, that's convenient. Or maybe you're Google mapping a place one too many times. You've been there before, you can probably find it, but I'm not feeling very confident about it, so I Google map it. But maybe our technology is changing us in a few more serious ways that are worthy of at least consideration, especially since we haven't had time to really study and come to terms and grips with the full effect of what it is that our technology is doing to us. It's possible that outsourcing our minds to our devices has become almost second nature, like taking a breath. I know I do it. I pull out my phone without even thinking about it to find an answer, sometimes to even things that aren't really that important, but you want to know, so I look it up. It's like breathing. It's what we do. Our devices become our brains living outside of our bodies. And does this affect us in a negative way? It seems like we do have a real chance of damaging our ability to use our minds for what God has designed them for, to work, to think, to dream up solutions, and then use those and come up with ways to make those dreams come to life in our life. To use our mind as a tool for God's glory, to have our lives transformed by the renewing of our minds, not to have our minds conform to the whims of our devices, but to God's Spirit. And it might not be necessarily a bad thing to rely and become to rely more on this knowledge that's been gathered into the communal hub of the internet that we're all contributing to and also accessing. But there are some differences between our minds and the internet, to that information bank that is the internet. It lacks a certain quality that our minds have. Because we can use the internet to find the answer to questions, but the internet doesn't give us the ability to question. Our minds are responsible for that, for thinking critically, for absorbing information, from learning new things and adapting our behaviors to that. And our minds that are used to dream and create things out of the inspiration that we have that just comes to us. Our minds are capable of growing and expanding as we encounter new ideas and experience new things. What separates humans from the rest of creation is our ability to take a step back and to study the rest of creation and learn from it. And that's an amazing gift that God has given us. These are foundational human characteristics. It's what separates us from the rest of creation, and it's something that our devices are not able to do for us. So could it be that our continued reliance on tech lessens these foundational human traits? Or does it lessen the opportunities and the desire that we have to question important spiritual things? Does our reliance on technology distract us from seeking after that divine spark that exists in the heart of every person, but becomes so easy to ignore and push away as the distractions of life come at us? And does it make us sometimes quiet, the already quiet whisper of the Holy Spirit working in our lives? Our passage talks about renewing our minds so that we can discern the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. And it reminds me of another passage in Philippians 2:5 that says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." And you can find that verse, again, by typing the mind of Christ into your phone if you forget it later. Our minds and the state that they are in seem important to God. And so we ought to think about how we can exhibit the mind of Christ. And I don't think that that's an impossible task, to both use technology and enjoy it while still honoring God. I personally love technology, use it every day. And if you talk to any of the church staff here or the staff of the Weekday Learning Center, they'll tell you about the dark story of us losing internet access a few weeks ago for 3 days. It was horrible. We couldn't email, we couldn't program the air conditioners, or it was wild. We were tethering our phones to things just to communicate. It seemed like work stopped. It didn't, but it was harder. And so technology is a really good thing, and we need it and enjoy it. But I think that over-reliance on it can make the task of being a disciple of Jesus and of keeping the mind of Christ just a little more difficult. And so it's something to be aware of. Here are a few of the reasons why I think that technology can complicate our relationship with Jesus and the ability to obtain the mind, keep the mind of Christ. I think instead of using our brain in a constructive way, a lot of times we're overstimulating it. As we scroll and scroll past updates and Facebook posts and pictures on Instagram and Twitter, that things just, your brain becomes overworked. You can pick up the habit of just filling every spare second in your day that you're not doing something with your phone. It's easy to do that, but it can overwhelm the senses and fill up the space where you could do other things. I've sat on my couch and looked at Twitter for way too long, and then I felt exhausted, like I'd been doing something hard, but I wasn't. I was just looking at a screen. And when you fill your time with that stuff, it can be more difficult to find time to focus on your family, relationships with others, prayer, scripture, those little quiet times where God works in your life when you don't realize it, but you were there and you were listening and it happened. So to me, it's just a case of too much of a good thing. We can also stunt our imagination by relying on the easy answers that the internet provides. Jesus might have annoyed a lot of us today that have become accustomed to the quick and easy answers that the internet gives us, because he didn't give quick and easy answers. When he spoke in parables, and he used the language of his day to couch really complicated concepts and ideas. And for 2,000 years, people have studied those parables and tried to explain them, and we could fill this building with books about them. And so when you came and listened to Jesus, you needed to have your imagination at work to sort of imagine and think about the things that he was explaining. A Jesus sermon was just as likely to cause more questions as it was to give answers. Another way that technology can impact us is as we try to seek out truth. And that's something that we're called as Christians to seek the truth, to spread the truth. And sometimes the truth gets obscured online. I'm sure you've heard somebody talk about fake news, or maybe you've encountered some of it yourself. Fake news has been around for a long time, but now because of the internet, it's able to reach further, and it's able to target you. And so people know your browsing, your search habits, and what you're predisposed to like and think, and so they take advantage of that, and they feed you things that aren't true. Prior to the internet, you would have had to have searched for that stuff yourself, but now it just comes into your home and your brain through your devices. And the reason that fake news is insidious to me is that it takes advantage of our trust. And it also targets fear and spreads fear as well. It's not conducive to having the mind of Christ. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 to watch out for those that were spreading falsehood and lies. Because by focusing on those falsehoods and embracing them, many people had strayed from the faith. And technology makes it possible for us to exist in our own echo chamber, where we hear and watch things that make us feel good or things that we want to hear or that reinforce our opinions. And that becomes dangerous because it can make it more difficult for us to empathize with other people and other viewpoints, and more likely to view other groups as the other, as different and separate from you. These are all areas of negative concern where technology could trip us up a little bit. But these problems aren't inevitable because we have the tools that we need in order to use our technology wisely and carefully. After all of us believers possess the Holy Spirit as a guide. We have the mind that God gave us that lets us rationalize and think through things. And the tech can exist for our benefit. We can own it. It doesn't have to own us. So how do we keep the mind of Christ while embracing the goodness that technology brings us? It's absolutely possible, and it starts by us individually seizing control of our technology. Believers have had to, throughout history, wrestle with how to live their life as a faithful followers of Jesus as the world changes. Through technological revolutions, industrial revolutions, all faithful Christians were to be found, and they were wrestling with, how do I live in our world as a believer? And that's the same for us today. Because our devices are here to stay, and I personally don't want to give them up. So as Christians, taking control of our tech involves using the mind that God gave us to think hard about our own personal boundaries that we have with technological use, because it's going to be different for every person. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. So it involves thinking about how it impacts your life, how you've gained from it, and how your life has maybe been made more difficult for it. And also to not conform to the rest of society and the way that they're using technology, but to find faithfulness to God as we think about these things and pray about these things for ourselves. I've got a few suggestions here to get us started, and if you have some suggestions that you're using in order to navigate how to use tech in your world, I'd invite you to post it to the Facebook post that's going to go up after the service with this sermon on it, because I'd like to read them and see as well. My first suggestion is just to spend time away from screens every day. It's a simple concept, but it can be pretty difficult to do. Just to carve out some time in your day where your phone is off and away, and you could instead do something that stretches your mind or expands your mind or rests it. You can read, listen to music, play music if you are a musical person, do a puzzle, sit down and write a letter, which is kind of old school but fun. And you could even spend some time daydreaming, because that's one of the things that disappears as we spend more time looking at our screens and absorbing that information. It's to take the time to just daydream. And I think it's important because God has worked his will through all sorts of daydreamers. Amazing things have come out of that. So spend some time daydreaming. You can also use a lot of the tools that are already available to help you figure out whether something that you're seeing online is true or not. There's a lot of resources. I've used Snopes, PolitiFact, all kinds of non-slanted information that will help you just see if something is true or not. Because sometimes things, they get sent to you, they seem true, they seem possible, but is it true? And also, finally, spend some time as a family disconnected from devices. However, whatever your family looks like, if it's parents and children spending time without screens, or husbands and wives, whatever it is, just spend some time with them put away. And you can do many things during that time. You can play games if you like to play games. You can go for walks. You can just sit and have dinner with your phones put away. It's a simple step that makes a big difference, because without the distraction of your devices, then you can have uninterrupted time looking at someone's eyes and talking to them. And that's something I think that we lose, is that full concentration with another person, and it can make a difference. And if you're interested in thinking about it a little bit more, you've seen the trailer for Screenager, so I would invite you to that. Because it's not only talking about how technology affects teenagers, but how it affects adults. Because parents and children and the interactions that we have with our tech, adults are also have things to think about as well. Brothers and sisters, God has given us all the tools that we need to navigate anything that comes our way. So sometimes, even though it seems like our world is changing overnight, it's possible to live out your life as a faithful follower of Jesus in spite of everything that's changing, because God's steadfast word endures. It doesn't change, and we can stake our claim on that. We can look at our personal experiences, the truth found in his word, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and then the reason that is possible because of the brain that God has given us. We can live with the mind of Christ as a living sacrifice to him, discerning his will, discerning what is good and pleasing and perfect to him. And I pray that it would be that way in all of our lives this morning. Amen.